Welcome to today's episode of Tips Appreciated. As we mentioned earlier, season two is about helping small businesses. And today's guest, we have Stacy, who is a content creation strategist. She helps business owners master their content creation to connect and grow on social media. So stay tuned.
Welcome to another episode of Tips Appreciated. Today we have Stacy from Stacy on Social, who is a social media expert, a content strategist. So lots of knowledge here to share today. Stacy, please give yourself an introduction to our viewers.
Oh, well, thank you so much, guys, for having me. This is awesome. I've been following Nom Trips for quite some time. And I've been listening to the podcast. It's fun. I love it. So I, as Edmund said, I am a social media coach, content creation strategist, and I've been doing this actually for 9 years come this May, but I've been in business for three. So yes, I did do quite a bit of social media beforehand without being paid for it. but in my defense, I was still in university at the time, and I was still sort of getting my feet wet. At least that's how I felt, you know, at the time. Yeah. Of course, now looking back, hindsight being 2020, progress before perfection, just do it.
Just do it. Just
that. Nike's always been right. Just do it.
Nice. That's a great lesson that we've heard a lot of people is just do it. So from your perspective, social media, there's so many different, I think, definitions for it. What is your perspective on social media, and is it right for everyone?
Mm-hmm. Well, to start, yeah, social media to me is anywhere that we're interacting with other people online. So it can be within WhatsApp. It can be on Discord. It can be in Clubhouse, Instagram, Twitter. There are 95 plus social media platforms worldwide.
Wow.
So to answer the question, should everybody be on social media? Most likely everybody is on social media with that many platforms. But when it comes to business, you need to make sure you have a strategy, and you don't just jump on social media thinking it's the quick fix to a failing business. That's not how it works. We've been talking about this great little donut place in Crossfield, Alberta, called the Donut Mountain Crossfield. And they started during a pandemic, and it had not been for their use of social media and embracing it. I mean, it's a donut shop that wasn't even open at the time, but they shared their entire journey. They talked about, you know, the hood fan not coming in, the floors not being level, the building being 100 years old, them having to gut everything and redo and waiting for different components. And people followed that because it's stuff we could resonate with. Mm-hmm. And it was a story. So they followed the story of this business. And within their first week, I know that opening day, they were sold out by noon.
Wow.
And then that was a Saturday. They were sold out on the Sunday. They were sold out on a Monday. No business in food ever sells out really on a Monday.
On a Monday, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially with everybody going back to work and Crossfield not being the biggest community in Southern Alberta, but people are coming from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you guys are north and you want to come down to check it out because people are talking about it. And they've embraced user-generated content. They've been, you know, embraced all these different things. But that's the fact. They've realized that it does take time. Social media is not just a quick fix. And it is something that you have to do social listening, and you have to know what your audience is talking about. And there's steps to getting there. And of course, when you work with someone like myself, a social media coach, that's what we do, is we literally take you through the steps. I even have a course that I have set up to walk people through those things, because that's the gap that's been missing. Even when I started, that was the gap. All the gurus were doing these amazing things and they were teaching you all this stuff, but the one thing they never, ever stopped to teach was where to start.
Right.
And the foundation. So to answer the question, yes, businesses should be on social media if they are willing to put in the time and the effort, and they realize that it is a tool in the marketing toolbox. It is not the only way to do things.
Totally. Yeah. You talked about like the story behind the donut place, the donut man.
Yes.
I think users and want to learn and see that personal side of businesses, right? So it was almost like the perfect place to start for them is this is our journey to opening a business. And they kind of knew the people already when they visited the donut place, right? So is a good place to start? Just kind of telling your story?
Yeah, introduce yourself. It's the simplest place. So social media is networking. Let's bring it down to what the very basic of what social media is. It is networking. You walk into a networking event, the last thing you're going to do is like, I sell social media. Nice to meet you. No, you're going to walk in and be like, hi, I'm Stacy. Nice to meet you. I live in Airdrie. This is the, you know, you're going to introduce yourself. So that's not only a place to start, but that's a place to continually come back to. Right. Same with your journey and your story. Like I come back to where I started in social media, and I started kind of by accident. I had quit my last corporate job in 2012. I had a 2-year-old and a 4.5-year-old, and they didn't know mom because I was commuting 2 hours to work and 2 hours home every day. So I'd get them to day home at 7 a.m. and my husband would pick them up, but I wouldn't get home until 7 p.m.
Wow.
That's not right when you have such young children. And maybe it works for some people. It did not work for us. The youngest one really didn't know who mommy was.
Yeah.
And so I quit that and I worked on my university degree, which I could work on 100% online at home. And there was so much to be gained from a degree in media and communications, but also online, a full online degree. Like I didn't meet my professors. I never met my classmates. And I was doing this with 2 babies at home. You know, in my late 30s, like I graduated when I was 40. So there's a story in itself, you know, so that's the things you always go back to your story, because if you go back to your story as well, it helps remind you where you started. It keeps you humble. But it also allows you to revisit why you started and your passion.
It's a great point. So, like, with the story piece, there's also, you talked about repurposing content and telling your story again, because there's probably new engagement, new users. And it's also a good reminder. Share some tips around how you might sort of retell your story. It's not a one-shot thing, right?
Oh, it's definitely not a one. And you can pick up pieces of it. There are lots of different pieces and components to your story. That's the beautiful thing about the human factor of social media is we have stories that we didn't start from. Like one day we just decided I'm going to do this. It was like, there's a buildup and there's little roadblocks and things that came within the way. Same with why you guys started this podcast and why you started, because you wouldn't have started this podcast the day you started the page on social media, right?
Yeah.
No, generally people don't jump in like that. There's always a start point prior. So my recommendation is you can tell your story in so many different facets. You can tell it as a static image on Facebook or on Instagram, just as an example. And then you can do it as a carousel, like the bits and pieces. A carousel on Instagram or a slide deck on Facebook is multiple photos to tell the story. You can tell it in a video. You can tell it like I am right now on a podcast. I've told my story on Clubhouse. I've been able to tell the story and bits and pieces again on different presentations that I've done, webinars that I've done. So it's something you repeat. Like my favorite way to repurpose or to explain how to repurpose is to tell the story of the one post that I did in summer of 2019. I went back to it. It was very clunky. It was a very cluttered post. I cleaned it up immensely, made it into a 4-point. Like these are the 4 intro, the 4 items, which is the 4 R's of social media, which is reuse, refresh, repurpose, and reduce. So to reduce your time. Mm-hmm. And I took that into an intro post, into 4 IGTV videos, 3 reels, a guide, several stories, Facebook posts, blog posts, Pinterest, email, presentation, and I'm talking about it again.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And it's taking me 3 months to get through all of that.
Wow.
But that's
because
great,
you're not going to clump it. Like, why would you clump it? People out by the time you get to the fourth hour, they're like, I'm done. I'm out.
Right. But there's a, like, to your point earlier, there's a good, there's a strategy to that though. Right.
Yeah.
In terms of thinking about how you might, you know, distribute the content depending on the channel. But also I think a great lesson too is, it doesn't have to be perfect when you launch it. I think you mentioned that before, right? It's just telling your story. And I think that's where the authentic piece comes into play. It doesn't have to be like the perfect post or the poses or the perfect picture. Or I saw your eye roll there a little bit.
Yeah, I saw your eye roll there.
Okay, so I will eye roll on that one because there's a lot. Instagram, of course, was originating, like when it originated, there was a lot of celebrities on there and a lot of very, and there's still a lot of perfect influencers. And here's the thing, the part behind it, when you really find the authentic people on Instagram, and there's lots, there are lots of authentic people. Like you just get past a little bit of the fluff and you get the authentic. But those images, that one perfect shot is actually probably 110 semi-perfect shots.
Yeah.
And then it's filtered to the hilt.
Right.
And it's filtered to the point that it doesn't even look real anymore. And it's fine if you want a perfectly curated, like the every tile works with every other tile, that's fine. I've tried it. It did not make a difference onto whether or not I attracted my ideal client. What attracts my ideal client and gets them sliding into my direct messages to ask if they can work with me is the value that I add in the content. Like, so you're not coming just to see a pretty picture. You're coming to learn something, to be entertained, to connect. Like there's, and that's part of the strategy. Like that is actually part of my strategies. I have content pillars and I have those are communication, connection, education, entertainment, and inspiration. And those are just the very simplistic. I've narrowed them down further, but those are the ones I started with. And you know, social media is different for each and every person that goes on it. We make it what we want. There's no, and I've said this so many times before, there are no actual set rules. The only rules that you cannot break are the ones that Facebook or Instagram or Twitter put out, you know, their code of conduct. Yeah. So if they say no hate speech, they mean it. They will, you know, take you off for hate speech. We saw that it took a little too long, but we saw that with a certain president's Twitter account finally getting removed. Right. And, you know, the newest president having to start at zero. He didn't inherit the followers of the previous president, unlike all the rest. He actually had to get his own. And I mean, I think he's over 20 million right now. Like, I don't think it took very long for that to happen, but that's what happens when you're a celebrity. You know, perfectly curated is fine if you are someone like a celebrity or a president where things can get misconstrued very quickly by the public and you can get roasted hard. But I always tell people, when it comes to your social media, think about this. You're standing in a lineup in a grocery store. There's a clerk in front of you and there's 10 people behind you. If what you're about to say online is not something you would say in that lineup, don't say it. Because if that would embarrass you in front of like real legitimate people, that social media is no different. Those are real legitimate people coming to read that post. If it's something that you're getting very vulnerable on, again, am I okay saying this in front of strangers? It's not just, am I okay that my mom reads this or my grandma reads this? Now you really have to think of, am I okay for strangers to see this? So that's the measure I say, because some people, they'll be quite fine with saying it in front of strangers and some people won't be. So,
yeah, that's an interesting point because like oftentimes I hear around it is the conversation and piece, and sometimes like, you know, social media, you know, there's like customer complaints through social media, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, like to me what I've always thought was that if a complaint comes through social, let's have a conversation with the customer, right? And take it offline or whatever that might be, Would you recommend the same thing? Like, yes, you know, absolutely, right?
100%. So if you ever get a complaint on social media, rather than engaging, because a lot of us, we're human, we'll get defensive, or you have to keep in mind that they're not reading the way you felt, they're reading the way they feel. So even if you're being sympathetic or empathetic or are legitimately concerned about it, it may not come across that way in the written word. Verbally, it'll come across that way in your tone. So the part of communication that gets lost heavily on social media is tone, which is why video does so incredibly well. Because video, we get to show the real personality and the actual smile behind the words and, you know, the passion behind it, where you don't get to see that on a or hear that in a written word, which is why Clubhouse is doing so incredibly well. And anybody listening, Clubhouse is an audio only app. It's brand new to social media, the sphere of social media.
It's that was like a VIP one, because you need
it is a bit VIP.
I didn't get an invitation yet, so I'm still waiting.
Are you on iOS? Are you on Apple?
Well, I actually downloaded on my iPad just so I could like get in.
Okay, okay. Then when we go offline, send me your phone number and I'll get you an invite. I've got four of them.
Nice. Excellent. Thanks, Steve.
Yes, you're welcome. If you need one too, I've got a couple. So you guys just sign on up.
All right.
But it's a neat app because you get that nuance that you're missing in even a live stream. Like, so the three of us speaking right now with each other, we can see each other, we can hear each other. Mm-hmm. But on a live stream, unless you're bringing a guest onto your Instagram Live or your Facebook Live, it's just you. There is no back and forth. So that part is missing, where that's where Clubhouse has kind of stepped in and taken over that realm. And it's neat because there's no fancy PowerPoint presentations. You're not hiding behind, you know, pre-recorded stuff and editing tools. You can't take 110 photos to get that perfect shot. It is literally jump in both feet cold and hope that you know what you're talking about. And so far, I've enjoyed it quite a bit. It can be a huge time suck, but you know, again, you plan it into your strategy. Mm-hmm. So it's simply there. But to answer your question, yeah, if you ever get a bad comment or bad review on social media as a business, or even on Google My Business, like Google reviews can, bad comments can show up there. You can literally say, is there a convenient time and phone number that I can reach you? Take it offline. Don't even go into the direct messages and the private messages, because people can also copy and paste that.
Yeah.
And again, it's still written word. Mm-hmm. So with the written word, again, you're still missing those nuances. But the good news is, if you take it to a phone number and a place that you can call them, then you're giving them, you're respecting the fact that they have a complaint, legitimate or not. So you're giving them that space to be able to verbalize what's wrong. And it may be absolutely nothing wrong, and it may be something that you can fix very quickly. That's the problem, unfortunately, with social media, is we've gotten these quick fixes. You know, we can go on to social media. I'll tell you a quick story. I dropped a phone years ago, a Samsung, in the parking lot, or in the drive-through of all places, of Tim Hortons. We actually had to walk through the drive-through because it was so busy after a major concert in Calgary. Oh. And so they were fine with us walking through because nobody was driving anywhere. And I dropped my phone. It landed face down in the parking lot with an OtterBox on it, and it was driven over by a BMW.
Oh no.
The phone was fine. The OtterBox, not so much. The phone was, except for that, I think the internal battery, like I had to replace the battery, but the screen, everything, like, and normally that would have been trashed, mm-hmm. but the OtterBox protected it. So I was like, holy Hannah. So I tweeted out to OtterBox, you know, drop my phone in a drive-through of Tim Hortons. The phone is thanks to the OtterBox, my phone is 100%. And OtterBox came back on Twitter and said, how's the OtterBox? How's the case? And I'm like, it's not good. It's got tire treads on it. And it has, it's all like, it had gone really yucky. Mm-hmm. And they said, not a problem. Send it, like, click this link and we'll send you a new one. So when you get service like that, you know, the next time you go to do something and you tweet it out to the company, you get no response. It's like, do you realize that I just got this great service from a major company
and
you're not giving me, like, you're not even responding. It's not like I'm asking for something for free. I just want a response. So yeah, the best thing to do is make sure you respond to every comment that you receive. If it's something you need to take offline, literally say, I'm sending you a direct message and go from there. Like, don't even put anything up to say, I'm sorry, or I apologize. Like, cause you don't know the whole story. Why would we? I mean, I guess, you know, we're Canadians, we apologize super quickly, but don't. It's a lot easier to take the stance of, I'm here to help. Tell me what's wrong and we'll go from there.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's
so, so the worst thing you could pretty much do as like a business is to ignore messages and comments. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not only is it bad for, you know, the front of like the customer service angle of the business, it's actually really bad for the algorithm because the algorithm doesn't like that at all. The algorithm, comments are a big factor of engagement, on social media. And so when you don't respond to comments, it looks like your content isn't worth it. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So anytime somebody comments, that's a little boost in the algorithm with your, like, it shows that they liked it. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed what you wrote. And they enjoyed it enough to take that extra step.
Nice.
And then, yeah. So the last thing you want to do is just leave those hanging. Sometimes it happens. I mean, we're human. But your best bet is to go in and not just drop an emoji and not just hit the little heart button beside it, but to actually engage back with it. Right. And a really great suggestion is, because we're trying to start conversations, is instead of just saying, hey, thanks for commenting. Yay. Ask another question or, you know, continue the conversation, like as if the person is in the room and they've said this to you and you're like, hey, thanks. I really appreciate it. How did you like the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
That's excellent. Like, to be honest and super transparent too, when Vic and I started the podcast and thinking about getting our faces out there, introduction, all of these things you're talking about is really kind of what we talked about. Like, oh my gosh, it's so nerve wracking. But a lot of people we talked to has said, you know, you're just having a conversation. It's okay. Yeah. And that's what we've experienced. Like, people have responded back and we've had these great conversations. And you know, one of our episodes, we chatted with a micro roaster from Alaska. And it was just a simple question. It's like,
yeah,
we love what you do. Like, do you want to come on and just have a conversation about coffee in your life? And he was just like, yes. I was like, amazing. So that's another thing that we've learned ourselves, is it's okay to just ask questions and have a conversation, right?
Exactly. And even when you're making a post that is a static image and written, think about, you know, we always say in my industry, we always talk about the ideal client and knowing who your ideal client is. Well, a lot of people that entire concept can go right over your head. So the best thing to literally do is to think of someone that is your client and have that conversation with them. Like, that's when I am talking on a live stream and I don't have anybody in front of me and it's just chat coming up. I literally have a conversation so that I can use the words you. Rather than having third party, you know, content, then I am having a conversation with one person. So I will think of the last conversation I had with somebody and I'll put that person in front of me, like imaginary, and I'll have that conversation with them. And I'm explaining stuff to them as if they're sitting in front of me.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's a lot of people overthink social media, and I think it's there's a lot of gurus out there that have made a lot of money on making people overthink on social media, because they've, you know, spouted all this truths about how you're supposed to do it, and they understand the algorithm and they know things that none of us know. Okay, so here's the straight hard truth and the basics on the algorithm. It's a math problem. It's a bunch of mathematical gobbledygook that basically tells the platform how the users are using the platform. Mm-hmm. So if we don't use a certain feature on a platform, eventually they'll kill it, because mm-hmm. what's the point? Nobody's using it. It's a waste of our servers. The reason Instagram went towards Reels is because people were posting their TikToks on there anyway. Yep. So why not? You know, it wasn't just a competition thing. I'm sure it was a lot of that. But at the same time, if you're going to be posting this here anyway, we might as well make a space for it. You know, so that's what they did. So anytime there's a change on the algorithm, I really don't panic about it. And a lot of people are like, the algorithm hates me. I'm being shadow banned. There's all these mm-hmm. things that'll come up. Mm-hmm. And fact of the matter is, it's a math problem.
Science.
And that's all it is. It's just, it's seeing the pattern within the things that we do on the network. Right. So if I don't like a post from a one or two people that I follow, and they normally show up in my feed, after a while, they'll stop showing up on my feed, mm-hmm. you know? And if I want them to show back up on my feed, I need to go and interact with them. So that's why comments are so important. Not just because we actually really want to encourage a real conversation, but because they do entice the algorithm to push things up, you know? So yeah, it's just, it's behavior. That's what the algorithm is, behavior.
That's true. Well, speaking of like behaviors and shifting gears a little bit, when we chatted before, one of the things that really stood out was around disconnecting and taking time to recharge. I mean, you mentioned that earlier in the chat here. You're like, I can't commute 4 hours a day and expect to have family life. And then you layer on top of that as a business owner, where it's just life. you know, I think that's one of the things that maybe you can give our listeners a tip too. Like, what do you do to help balance life?
How do you disconnect? I know we're all addicted to like this, right? And it is our jobs, but exactly. Like, how do we, you know, just step away from it for like an hour or two and not touch it?
Well, I love stats, and I have not shared any of my stats because nobody wants to hear them. But one big stat that was rather interesting is, prior to the lockdowns and COVID and pandemic, we were on social media on average for an hour and a half. Okay. But, you know, an hour and a half a day, that's a lot. But at the same time, it's like, well, that wasn't as bad a stat as I thought it was going to be. We jumped to 3.5 to 5.5 hours.
Wow.
So if you think about, you know, you Netflix and chill and you binge a Netflix series, that's what people are doing daily on their phones on social media. So one of the biggest things as a social media expert and somebody who's in the realm of social media, I mean, social media is my business. It affects me greatly. Sorry about that. When things happen in the world, because I see it all, I have two US-based customers, clients. And so when the Capitol riots happened and the election happened and the inauguration, I had to set boundaries for myself going into those. Because especially pre-election, about 4 days prior to the actual vote being counted, and as we know, there was no definitive answer on election day. But leading up to that, there's a lot of ugly stuff happening on Twitter at the time. And both of those clients are on Twitter. And so I see a lot of this stuff. So what I did is, knowing that the inauguration was coming up and how I felt during the election period, I decided I needed to set boundaries. So what I recommend to anybody, and you can do this at any time, is there's timers on both Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Clubhouse doesn't have a timer yet. Twitter does not have a timer yet, but our phones are also all equipped with timers. I know my phone, actually, if I go into the settings, there is an actual social media timer in there where I can set different apps to shut off at a certain time, where they, you know, I can put it for 40 minutes. And what I always recommend is to be absolutely productive going into an app for social media, set your intention that I'm going in for business. I'm not going in to scroll. I'm going in to do XYZ, and then determine what that XYZ is and what outcome you're looking for from that, and set the timer. Because you can do these things within 20 minutes. You can do them within 30. I don't spend more than 40 minutes on social media in a day.
Wow, that's really good.
Unless I'm going on Clubhouse, but then I go on with absolute intention. Mm-hmm. Like this afternoon at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, I'm in a panel. So that panel, I know I need to have at least 1 to 2 hours to be on that panel.
Right.
So that is within my schedule. I have planned that. But I do not go on. And Vic, you were like, okay, Clubhouse is invite only. There's a bit of FOMO going on, you know, fear of missing out.
Just a little.
And they've got it set up to do that. They really do, because mm-hmm. all the notifications come up every time somebody sets up a new room for a new topic. And every topic that is happening right at that moment, you'll get notifications for. So you can go in, of course, and adjust your notifications on any one of these apps. They all have notification ability to either be always paused, never, different things like that. And then, of course, set the timers, you know, and set the intention too. Like, I don't go on Clubhouse just to jump into a room to listen and sort of putz around, mm-hmm. put it lightly. I go in with very specific intentions of what I'm doing. Same with Twitter, TikTok. I don't use anymore, but every one of those platforms, I am on there with intention. And that's the best way to disconnect. The other way to disconnect is if, for example, you're going on vacation, you know, you can set up a schedule ahead of time using different scheduling apps. Facebook has their own. It's called Creator Studio. There is, you know, you can use Hootsuite for Twitter and LinkedIn, just as an example. And take the apps off your phone.
Okay.
Delete them. Like, you're not going to awesome. Lose anything. That's the
that's true.
Right. It's under our control. Like, nobody is going to, if you're gone for a week, just tell your audience, I'm going away for a week. You may see me on here sporadically if you don't want to schedule stuff ahead of time, and you can jump off. I went for 19 days to Georgian Bay. I took my laptop, I took my iPad, I took my phone, like, which is pretty much my entire office. Incredibly heavy to take on a plane. I will never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
I did not crack my laptop once.
Good for you.
On where our cottage is in Georgian Bay, to get Wi-Fi is $1,000 a month.
Ooh,
so you're really going to use it very specifically. So I didn't want to have to pay for it. I have data. I used my data very briefly, and I just told my audience, like, I'm here, I'm just not here right now. And I just jumped off, and there is a gap in my Instagram. There's a gap in my Facebook. And you know what? So what?
So what?
Do you think people worry about that? That, oh no, yes. There's no engagement if I'm like gone for 19 days.
Yeah, people do. People talk about it all the time. I see it a lot on social media. I have people talk to me about it all the time, which is why I repeatedly, and I repurpose this part of the content, is I repeatedly tell them it's okay to disconnect, to unplug. Like, we went to Banff for a weekend because I noticed during this pandemic that I did not unplug since March. Mm-hmm. So in December, I finally said enough's enough. We know all the parameters that we need to know for the pandemic. We know that we, especially in Banff, we have to wear face masks everywhere we go, inside, outside, doesn't matter. You know, my husband works for a hand sanitizer company on top of it, so we have proper hand sanitization, like it's not a problem, and you just follow the proper protocols. And so we left, and I was not on for that entire weekend. I was not really worried. Like, you can have gaps in your social media. In fact, people right now, if there's quite a few that I've seen that have actually not been on since April. And there is a way to come back from that. You will have lost followers. There's no doubt. People will have jumped off. That happens. But all you have to do is come back on and explain, like, this has been a really weird year. This is what we've been doing. And again, this is where you tell the story. Because if you tell the story, people are going to resonate with it. And they're going to be like, I get it. I get why you weren't on here. Like, I totally understand. And I appreciate that you told me the story. You'll have some people who won't give two hoots. Yeah. But those are the people you want to be engaging with anyways.
Yeah. You know what's a really good example? This just happened last night, actually. So I follow a YouTuber, Bitwit. So he's like a tech guy. He builds computers and reviews technology. Cool. And he's awesome. And he was off for about a month in December. And everybody was wondering, like, what the heck is going on? And last night he released a video. It was a minute and 39 seconds, I believe. And all he did was explain why he was gone, and he was going through some personal time. It has been a rough year. Yeah. And when I watched it, I was like, amazing. Like, everybody's going through a tough time. Like, in December, I decided to disconnect from Instagram for various reasons or whatever. To your point around deleting the app, what I actually did for me was actually move the app to a different folder.
Yeah, people do that.
I got so used to going to the same place. And that was that. I was like, oh yeah, after a while, it felt good, to tell you the truth. But yeah, going back to the YouTuber, and exactly to your point, it was a minute and 39 or a minute and 29. And he just talked about the personal stuff he's going through, and thanking everybody for their support. And just, I was like, man, how amazing and how brave, actually. Yes. to talk about that right on YouTube with his, I think he's got 2.3 million followers or subscribers or whatever it is.
And I bet you he engaged some of those followers he hasn't engaged in a long time.
I bet you too. Yeah.
Because those would be the people that have been sitting there going, oh yeah, your life's so good.
Yeah.
Your life's great. Right. And now all of a sudden they realize, no, you and I, we're in the same storm, just different boats.
Totally.
Yeah. Right. That's the analogy people have been giving. And the thing is, there was a life before social media. Right. I mean, I remember I jumped on social media in 2007. That's my very first post, was back then. My brother-in-law had sent me this notification or email several times inviting me to this Facebook. I'd never heard of this thing before, and I was really not interested. I'd been on MySpace briefly and had used IMing prior to that. But it just wasn't, it was like weird. Why do people want to see what I'm doing in my day? Like, really? And now we're so accustomed to the point that the younger generation that's coming up, my two boys, they're 13 and 11. The little one, if I leave my setup, and I have a light ring right beside me here, and it's not on right now, but there's my light ring. If I leave this setup, he'll plop himself down in this chair. And next thing you know, and they watch YouTube, just like you were talking about your YouTube. And he'll come on and he's like, hey, this is Regan Beckford and the YouTube. And he'll start talking like he's a YouTuber. And I'm like, oh,
I think that's a lot of kids nowadays. It's like, oh, what do you want your career to be? It's like, oh, YouTuber. Like,
yeah, no, actually, when I asked them, so I was a little concerned. Not because I don't want them to be on YouTube. It's not that. It's I want them to understand the amount of work and the amount of hours, and how there can, you know, we put, as humans, we put stress on our own shoulders, unfortunately, because of that exact feeling. Like, he was gone for a month. And your YouTuber may have felt very much like, I'm letting people down. Mm-hmm. There's 2 million followers that expect me to show up today, and I'm not showing up. You know, and that's the thing, is I always tell people, like, if you're going to plan a strategy for social media and some guru has told you that you need to post every day, twice a day, and three times on Sunday, and that's what you start following, that's going to get hard to maintain after a while. And it's better to start, you know, every other day or two times a week. You know, you can't only post once a month and expect results. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, yeah, you'll get great results posting, you know, twice daily and three times on Sunday, or people will absolutely hate you and they'll block you one way or the other. But it's hard to maintain. It's very hard to maintain. I did it for 30 days in June of last year. And then that was June. So then July and August, I kind of like went back to my regular scheduled programming and I didn't notice a difference. Mm. And I did look at the analytics. Like I actually spent the time and put the analytics together and was like, I'm sure that I would have seen more results had I done it more than just 30 days, but it just didn't feel natural to me. And it didn't feel like I was serving anybody properly. So I was fine with it. But that's younger generation. I'm actually not as worried about them because there are stats that have shown that they actually are trying to stay off of social media more than their parents.
Oh, wow.
Because they see it. You know, I mean, you see commercials. There's a Bell Let's Talk commercial right now about mental health. And in it is the very first part of that commercial is you put your phone down to talk to your daughter. Isn't that the sign of the times, is the fact that we have our phone in our hands so often that when we're holding a conversation with somebody, it's like this automatic thing. So for me, what I've shown my children, and I'm sure there's lots of parents out there that are doing this now too, is every time they will talk to me about something, my phone is down. It's like, it's not in my hand. Even off and in my hand doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel like I'm fully connected. So they come in for a hug, the phone goes down. You know, and then I hug them longer because the phone was probably in my hand. So I do my best to do that. I also put my phone away at night. It's not in my room. Like that's another really great recommendation for disconnecting. Because I believe that there are EMFs. I've read the science on electronic magnetic fields that come from blue light and come from phones. So the only electronics that are in our bedroom at all is a radio for an alarm clock. That's it. We don't have any other electronics because I need my sleep. Sleep is good. Yeah. The world does not want to see a grumpy Stacey in the morning after no sleep. Trust me.
Okay. Nice. Well, I mean, like it's so true, everything you're saying. And the things that we've heard today around strategy, intent, and I think the cool thing about you and your strategy is you look at it holistically. The strategy isn't just about posting content when and where. It's about the why, the intent, and even right through to what you're talking about right now is like how to stay healthy as a business or somebody using social media so that you have the time to spend with your family or your friends or your loved ones or whatever that might be. Which is awesome. So what do you think, and what is the best way for people to reach out to you and just start a conversation with you? Like what is the best way to reach you to, you know, chat with you, your services, you know, whatever that is.
Easiest way to start a conversation is on Instagram. That is my primary social media. So that's another thing is I always recommend have a primary and then everything is like secondary and tertiary and supportive after that. That also helps with focus.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm on Instagram at Stacey on Social. I kept it really simple. You know, it's what I do and it's where I am. And then my website is also stacyonsocial.com.
Easy.
And so you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Clubhouse, Instagram, and my website, all Stacey on Social.
Nice.
Amazing.
And it's an EY. So it's S-T-A-C-E-Y on social. But yeah, that's the best place to start a conversation. Just slide into my DMs, say hi, how are you doing?
Nice.
You know, I love what you do. The same way that you guys and we started talking, you know, we were introduced, by our friend Amanda and she was awesome to introduce all of us. And we had a chance to talk on email and It just, that's how real conversations, that's really, should be no different than picking up the phone and being like, hi, I'm so-and-so. This is how I found out about you. This is how I'd like to, you know, what I'd like to talk to you about. Why we're not doing that on social media. Like, I get DMs, I'm sure you guys do too, that are, here's what we're selling. And it's like, I don't even know who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to go look at your profile to even figure out your name. You didn't even say, you know, chat with you soon, so-and-so. Like, we're missing those nuances, and I love to bring them back. And that's why I sort of, I practice and I preach the same thing.
Right.
And I tell people, like, that's exactly why you need to know your why. Why am I on social media? Why did I start this business? Like, you need to go through the five W's.
Yeah.
Really. That's true. It answers so much more, and it gives you so much more than just, oh, I need to post a piece of content today.
Yeah. It's not authentic, right? So.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I plan my content out. There are gurus out there that will tell you can plan an entire year. Well, 2020 threw that out the window. You can't plan a year. I'm sorry, between the Black Lives Matter movement, the pandemic, the US election, the riots at the Capitol, the inauguration, you cannot plan any of that. It's not physically possible. There's stuff you can plan ahead. Sure, you can have ideas on the calendar written, but beyond that, really, in order to be truly authentic, I find that planning more than a week in advance is too much.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't feel like it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost too scripted, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. And there's, same with the done for you content. There's a lot of done for you, like where you can plug and play your information. And I've used some of it. Don't get me wrong. Cause there's times when I'm struggling to find the words and I find them within a done for you piece of content where I can like change things, but I have that ability. If you don't have that ability, don't be doing that, because done for you content does come across as scripted. I can tell you when it is done for you.
Oh,
wow. Oh yeah.
Interesting. Cool. You launched a course too.
I did. It's called Social in Six, Master Your Content Creation. And it's actually pretty much everything we've been talking about today. Yeah. I know. Like I said, it's pretty much my entire approach is this course. It's the step-by-step process that I use to plan, publish, connect, and grow using social media for business. So we go through where do I start with planning out a content calendar? How do I have a content vault? Because a content vault, of course, is the ability to grab a photo or a video when you need it. And then how do I write the captions? Where do I schedule these things? When do I know when to post? Like, so I show you the analytics to be able to understand when your audience is online. We go through the anatomy of a post. So the hook, the insight, and the caption, or the call to action. Because a call to action is always so incredibly important on social media, because again, we're missing that, hey, I'd love for you to talk to me again. You hit me up in my direct messages, or click this button to find out more. We're missing that in a lot of the conversations you're seeing online. And so people are like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, so it's a guide. So yeah, I go through all those things, and it's a 6-week course. It's 1 hour a week live with me. There will be a huge Facebook group right now. There will be 6 of us. Starting out, but it is a newer program. And the beautiful thing about a program like this, when you have a Facebook group, not only do you have the ability to network with that group, you also have the ability to go and ask questions. I'll be there to answer questions. I'll be doing FAQ, live FAQs or Q&As when they're needed for the first little bit. And then from there, I'll hopefully be able to do them a week at a time, depending on how many questions I get. But yeah, it's an ever evolving program. So as new stuff, because there's always the shiny new tool that comes out, right?
Yeah.
So as shiny new tools come out, I test them. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of tools out there that are very unnecessary in this world. Mm-hmm. A lot of people love them and they're using them, and that's great. But I think there's a lot more effort going into using the tool than there is to actually having the tool do what it's supposed to do. So, but I take everybody through that, and I go and I figure out if the tool's worth it.
Nice. That's awesome. So the best way is just to DM you on Stacey on social to learn more about it. So that's C-E-Y. Don't forget the E.
Yes. And actually, it's also on the website, of course, stacyonsocial.com. When you get to the homepage, you have a choice to go to the website, or you can go to Social and Six and find out about it. And yeah, definitely hit me, like have them hit me up. Because I will happily have a conversation, as you can tell, with anybody to go over this stuff. Because the other thing is, if this course is kind of for you, but you're on the fence, the best way to find out is to talk to me, because I'll be able to tell you. And I have actually had two different people want to sign up for it. And after we talked, it was like, this actually right now where you're at is not a good fit. And that's what I like to do, is I like to meet my clients where they're at, not where I'm at.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you know, there's other things that I offer, I won't go into all of them. There's a few, but Social and Six is what's launched right now. The doors will be closing next week. I'm keeping them open until Friday next week. Was going to be February 1st, but I realized February came a lot quicker than it should have.
I know, right? Yeah, totally.
So that's the beautiful thing about being my own CEO, my own administrator, my own social media person.
Everything.
I can be like, you know what? I'm closing the doors today. Sorry. Or I'm closing them next week, Friday. Right. But yeah, there's a lot that also goes into launches. So we're going to be talking about that as probably a bonus piece to Social and Six. Awesome. So it's going to be a good course. And if you're an entrepreneur, a small business or brand using social media, this is a good investment, because this is the foundation that frustrates most people, where they're like, I've been posting, I don't know if it's hitting the way I want it to. So we're going to go over the return on investment. Like, what is your goal? Like, why are you using social media? Yeah. This goes back to that why.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where this course will land everybody. Will hopefully land people at the point, as long as they put the effort and the work in.
Nice.
Where they're able to follow a routine month after month without struggle.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you know what? A good transition, I guess, is that you talked about like closing. So unfortunately, we got to close the episode in some way. But the exciting thing about that is we have committed to each other that we will have donuts together.
Yes.
So as part of Nom Trips and Tips Appreciated, we love food. Obviously, we talk about food, small business, all those things. So we will find a way to meet each other through donuts, and then we will post it on our social as like our formal meeting.
Donuts. I'm sure there's a way we can, you know, document a full-on road trip.
Let's do it,
because it'll be so much fun. Like, and I told you, we have to go for Fritter Fridays.
Fridays. And what was the flavor again? Lemon blueberry.
They're doing lemon blueberry tomorrow.
Okay.
No. But
they've done apple, and apparently they're very good. I have not had a chance to have their fritters yet. Okay. And I grew up, okay, so I think your listeners know how old I am by now. I grew up in southern Manitoba, and we had Robin's Donuts.
Right.
Robin's. Before Tim Hortons Donuts. And Robin's Donuts were very different. They are very similar to the Donut Man Donuts. There's a difference between the yeast donuts that Donut Man makes and the Tim Hortons donuts that are out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm very interested in finding out about these fritters. Okay. And I am a foodie. As much as I mean, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, I would probably have a food blog.
You can always start one up.
No, I have enough on my plate. I have two kids. There's enough on my plate. But we even went to Disneyland in December 2019, and I had a list on my phone, and nobody in my family knew this, but I had a list on my phone of things I had to try.
Mm-hmm.
And the beignets in New Orleans Square, I had to try. The gingerbread, oh my goodness, if you ever get to go to Disney at Christmas time,
the gingerbread?
Get the gingerbread. Okay. There is no other reason to go. it's super packed at Disney at Christmas. It's beautiful to look at. It's great, but you can literally, if you're in Southern California at the time, you can go into one of the Disneyland hotels. You don't have to go into the actual park and you can get this gingerbread. It is so incredibly soft. And it doesn't harden like days after. Like we actually bought this, it's a Mickey Mouse and it was like $8, like $8, which when you translate that to Canadian, that's a meal.
Yeah.
But it was this Mickey Mouse gingerbread and he didn't have a lot of extra icing on it. It was just like little dollops of icing. And we picked at it over a course of like 2 to 3 days and it stayed soft. It was so incredible. I tried to find and replicate the recipe. No luck. But yeah, we went to Disneyland and I had an entire section on my phone that was dedicated.
We're going to do a Disney episode together. We're going to talk about this together.
I think we do have to because there is so much I could share about our experience at Disney and the food experience. And then the next big one is I'm planning already is Disney World. Because we're going to eat our way through the 11
Epcot. Epcot, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Nice.
Because they say that's a thing.
To eat your way through Epcot.
Well, and you can also drink your way through Epcot.
Yes, I heard that. I heard about the drinking one, not the eating one.
Well, so at Disneyland, you can't drink.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, it's dry. California Adventure is not, but Disneyland itself is dry, which is fine. I don't think I'd want to be there with people drinking, honestly. Right. That can get a little ugly. But I hear that, you know, if you drink your way through Epcot, it's okay because you're not on rides.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's only like a few rides there.
Yeah, like, so you're not going to make yourself stupid sick. but there's a lot food-wise. Oh, yeah, we could talk food.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've had haggis. Can you say you've had haggis?
No.
I've gone all the way to Scotland and had it in Edinburgh.
Wow.
Had haggis. All I can say is it's not as gross as you think it is.
Oh, okay.
It's not it's the casing that people gross out about because it is a sheep's stomach. But once you get past that, like, because you don't eat that part,
right?
Or at least I didn't eat that part. But the innards, it's sausage.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the ketchup.
Okay, a couple episodes is.
I think we need to do food episodes. We'll bring my friend Tanis on. She has been to 32 plus countries.
Wow.
So she's traveled with Tanis, and she's one you want to talk to about travel and food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think she'd trounce all of us.
Oh yeah.
We should do Amanda has gone to Scotland too, I believe, right? I think she had mentioned she's been to Scotland. I could be wrong, we'll confirm, but one of the ideas Vic and I had was actually we should do a group Disney chat with Amanda and Michelle from Eat Shop Love AB.
Yeah.
You and us. I think that would be an incredible episode for
I think that would be a fantastic episode. Anything to do with food, I think would be a fantastic.
Yeah.
So then the other conversation, of course, we can always add to that, you know, take it back to what I do, is a lot of people say, well, do you really want to show your food on social media? I got answers for that.
Okay. All right. Nice teaser for next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Well, Stacey, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on.
The tips, I learned actually so much today just from like honestly, the biggest takeaway for me today was it's okay. There's the pressure shouldn't be there, and really just do the best you can, and have a strategy, have intent, and make your rules. To your point, so thank you again for the time. It's greatly appreciated, and we'll chat soon again.
Yeah, it was so good to see you guys again and to talk to you. And I look forward to our donut trip.
Let's do it. Yep.
And I think, you know, I may have to go into Calgary, grab a different donut just to compare it to the Donut Man. And then we'll grab one from Red Deer.
Yes.
And maybe you need to bring one down. Yeah. Donut Mill. Maybe you need to bring one down from Edmonton, and we'll just have like a donut off.
Okay, oh, we have smart. I have two favorites in Edmonton. One is in St. Albert. Definitely bring both, and one is in the West End City. We will bring both, and then Vic will bring her favorites too, yeah. And then let's do the donut off. Let's
oh,
do
it. I can see this being yes. Very tummy aching, but very good.
Very yeah. Good, very good. We'll worry about the tummy aching after.
Yeah, it's okay.
Magic. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, well, thank you again so much.
Thank you.
We will chat soon again.
You bet. Thanks. We'll see you guys.
Okay, take care. See ya. Bye.